Hadi bakalım.
Friends, breaking news. The Trump administration has discovered that Tylenol is the source of libertarianism. We are here to break it all down for you, along with some breaking new revelations from the DOJ, which has just formally indicted James Comey. We're going to get into that as well.
Indicted!
Honey.
I'm going to be indicted!
Ben was waiting on that.
What? That was new. That
what was
new.
That?
I can't calm down. I'm going to be indicted!
Great day to pull that one out of the closet
that
there.
Good.
Yeah, that was
great.
Nice. Bennett coming out of the closet with these ones.
That's right.
Welcome, everybody, to Human Reaction. Thanks for tuning in the show. We're going to have a great time today. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, drop a comment, hit the notification bell on YouTube. If you're on Spotify, hit those little stars. Give us some rankings on those stars.
Five, if you will.
Yes.
Thanks.
I mean, at least four. I mean, this is a pretty high-quality podcast. I mean, look at the color grading. Look at that. Look how great Kyle looks.
I think we're better than 80%. We're better than a B.
I got through high school on B's, so that's kind of my philosophy, you know?
Yeah.
Effective
it's not
minimum.
His fault he can't read!
We're going to put that to the test today. You have some difficult names to pronounce.
We'll see if I can do it. It's not likely.
Names of people, names of drugs. It's going to be all over the place today,
I'm just going to have you guys read it. Ready? All right, go.
This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's, or just check the show notes for a link.
So Tylenol is all over the news today, this week, really, and it's become a major issue. The Trump administration rolled out a kind of co-media strategy announcement. They dropped an op-ed in Politico with the NIH director, Bhattacharya, the FDA commissioner, Macari?
Close. Very close.
McCary.
Yes.
I like McCary better.
Sounds like an Italian auto manufacturer.
I say we go with that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
Marty McCary. That's great.
CMS Administrator Dr. Mehmet Oz?
You can just do Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz is good.
Mehmet? That's not it?
Mehmet.
But he's known as he's known as Dr. Oz. I can't speak now. Sorry, I slammed some Tylenols before this.
The best words.
Just to make sure everyone got that, Dr. J. Bhattacharya, FDA Commissioner Darty, Dr. Marty McCary, and CMS Administrator Dr. Mehmet Oz. Got them all.
Yeah. Okay. So they wrote this thing. It kind of lays it out. And really the meat of it, the policy of it, which is getting totally lost in the larger picture as the media botches covering what's happening and the actual government actions going on, and instead is just waging this rhetorical war against Trump. So what actually happened, because this is, I'm not burying the lead, I'm trying to actually inform people about what the government's doing. Press, the NIH launches a new autism data science initiative. They are going to spend $50 million in research. They got applications from 250 organizations, medical research organizations. They selected 13 projects to study the root causes and therapies for autism.
Seems like a really good thing.
Yeah, with replication
Nothing
studies.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
Quality.
It's my favorite clip.
The timing was so good on that, too. That was great.
It's my favorite clip.
For those of you that don't yet know, that's from Trump's press conference. Those are words out of his mouth. We'll get to that. Anyways, continue, David.
So, and one of the important things here, too, and this is following through on a core promise of MAHA, was funding the replication studies. That's what actual science is. It's how you replicate over time the same findings with new data.
To verify that the study that was done in the first place is actually true.
Yes.
Right.
So.
Which so often in a lot of our scientific studies, things often are not replicatable. is kind of the problem of just trusting the science all the time. It's like people get trapped into, it's like, well, we had a study that says this, and then we move on with that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of these things that you see pop up on memes on Instagram, where it's like, new study finds that X, right? And it's like, well, okay, show me the, like, the replication of that. Is that actually true, or was that one study? And most people, including myself, don't know how to, you know, read the methodology and, you know, all the various components that go into making a study actually, like, worthy of trust.
Well, most people are just too lazy. They're reading the headline, they're going, huh,
new information,
moving on.
Yeah.
I'm smart now.
Exactly.
I want to read a part of this political article. It says, quote, what parents should do. In light of the evidence and lack of clear alternatives, we believe acetaminophen should be used judiciously in pregnancy and under medical supervision of an obstetrician. As practical, prudent medical approach that balances risks and benefits. This caution could be extended to infants and toddlers. That's it. So there's a new FDA partnered with this. Is a new FDA recommendation to doctors saying, hey, this is a thing. Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not forcing anything. It's not taking Tylenol off the shelves. It's not burning Tylenol on the streets in a giant bonfire with a bunch of Heil Hitler Nazi salutes. It's just that. It's just, that's all it is. Why is everyone freaking out?
But wouldn't that be so much more exciting? Wouldn't that be so much more exciting, though, if that's what we were doing?
It really would. It really would be quite exciting.
HR bonfire.
You're all invited.
Just bring your Tylenol.
BYOT. What are the...
So this is a FDA memo that went out with this whole blitz. I think the second paragraph's worthy of being read.
Sure.
Joe?
Okay, to be clear, while an association between acetaminophen and autism has been described in many studies, a causal relationship has not been established, and there are contrary studies in the scientific literature. The association is an ongoing area of scientific debate, and clinicians should be aware of the issue in their clinical decision-making, especially given that most short-term fevers in pregnant women and young children do not require medication.
And is that not factual? You know what I mean? Like,
it seems very measured. There's nothing in there that seems extreme in any sort of direction. There's not, like you said, it's not like they're mandating anything or pulling anything off the shelves. It's just saying, hey, we found this, be aware of it.
In fact, they're doing one step beyond that. They're saying, for the treatment of autism, you can now prescribe
leucovorin
to treat autism in children. And this was already been used off-label for that purpose, and now they're saying you can use it on-label. This is just giving you more options. That's it.
Yeah. I'd like to read the first paragraph because I think that lays out some interesting things as well. In recent years, evidence has accumulated suggesting that the use of acetaminophen by pregnant women may be associated with an increased risk of neurological conditions such as autism and ADHD in children. Some studies have described that the risk may be most pronounced when acetaminophen is taken chronically through pregnancy to childbirth. These concerns may be magnified by the fact that a very young child's liver may still be developing, and thus a child's ability to metabolize the drug may be limited. Mm. We know that Tylenol is hard on adult livers, right? I mean, there's all sorts of warnings about it. You know, you don't want to be drinking when you're on acetaminophen. You don't want to take a lot of it. Like, you know, you don't want to take it chronically. Like, we've known these things that, haven't we? Like, you guys have heard the same things as I have, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so, of course, it makes sense. Like, okay, yeah, you have a small human inside of you that doesn't have the same capacity for detox that we do. So, yeah, just be more careful.
Well, we have warnings for pregnant women on so many things already.
Absolutely.
Like, something like this, it just seems kind of like it intuitively makes sense. It's just like, be cautious. Putting a bunch of different things into your body while you're pregnant, like, you don't know how that's going to affect the development of the child. And, you know, in the same way that you don't want to just go get drunk when you're pregnant with a child, there's problems that occur.
Otherwise, you get Greta Thunberg.
How dare you?
Dude.
That's more of a Tylenol case.
Hear me out.
Right?
Hear me out. Look at a fetal alcohol child, like, face, and look at Greta, and you're like...
Okay.
All right. I might be doing a Candace thing right now, but it checks. Right? It just checks. You look at it, you're like, ugh.
It seems like a Tylenol face to me, but...
Tylenol. She's pretty autistic.
But if she was a Tylenol baby, she'd be a libertarian.
Yeah, well...
Autism autism comes in many shapes and forms.
So there's sort of a spectrum between
there's a political
authoritarianism
spectrum
and libertarianism, and then Tylenol this way, and it's sort of like, you know, you could be an authoritarian Tylenol autist, or you could be a libertarian Tylenol autist. Yeah,
it's sort of like the four quadrants of Tylenol. I think it's more about like the extremes, where you lie on the extremes of the four quadrants of the political spectrum.
Right, right.
It's more of an extremist drug, really, when you think about it that way.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You're very extremely into trains or the Civil War or the climate in some cases.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let's carry on.
Anyways, so alongside this, it was a press conference, as always, in the White House. And Good Morning America covered it. And I want to cover this first, then we're going to go back and see what actually happened. Because I think the way this is framed and how they go about it really demonstrate the media misdirection and what happens in the corporate press that is so turns so many people off and makes it so destructive.
Take Tylenol. Don't take it if you just can't. I mean, it's just fight like hell not to take it.
There's a strong response this morning from major medical groups that are taking issue with the White House's announcement tying autism to women using Tylenol during pregnancy.
First, effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen.
I know acetaminophen. Words, I have the best words.
Is that okay?
Just like David, for real, for real.
Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol during pregnancy can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good.
President Trump's messaging came with his health secretary, RFK Jr., by his side, who has long shared provably wrong theories about what causes autism.
Strongly recommending that women limit Tylenol use during pregnancy unless medically necessary. That's, for instance, in cases of extremely high fever, that you feel you can't tough it out, you can't do it. I guess there's that. It's a small number of cases, I think.
This morning, major medical organizations are disagreeing with the president, saying that acetaminophen is safe for pregnant women and that the drug is important because untreated fevers can end pregnancies.
Wait, look at this real quick.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
The very last one in that list. Did you guys see
autism
that?
Autism speaks.
Autism speaks.
Do they, though?
What the fuck? Like, that Autism Science Foundation? Like, why? Why? There are studies that suggest this is true. They're not lying about that. Why?
Well, it's also they're framing it poorly on here right now. Like I forget exactly what he said, but I feel like he very much misrepresented, like the narrator here very much misrepresented what Trump had said there. Like Trump, like
news?
Would the news do that? But because Trump was saying there that you know, like there are extreme cases where you might need to use it, like super high fevers and stuff like that. And like the way that he narrated over top of this, maybe just like pull back, like when it goes.
It's a small number of cases, I think.
This morning, major medical organizations are disagreeing with the president, saying that acetaminophen is safe for pregnant women and that the drug is important because untreated fevers can end pregnancies.
Because like
you didn't say don't do it.
Yeah, because like Trump is saying that might be the case where you want to use it, actually, but like, you know, in an extreme fever.
Right. And the actual act, as we read earlier, it's about the chronic use of these things. Don't take it for a month, idiot. Like, that's what they're talking about.
And don't just, like, pop them like candy. Like, yeah. Because, you know, like, a lot of people do that.
You can OD on only 4 grams.
Yeah.
It does not take much. Apparently, I discovered.
Yeah. And there are unconfirmed reports of women now on X trying to fly in the face of Trump's new science or pseudoscience or whatever, taking large amounts or just taking Tylenol to excess, evidently, and ending up in the hospital because of it. Yeah. Now, again, not confirmed. These are just things we're seeing and hearing on X, so we don't really know.
But it does check.
It checks.
As we will see, because there's a range of TDS out there that's definitely like, this is my form of protest.
Mm-hmm. Well, internet TikTok trends have led to people being in the hospital in the past.
And dying.
Yeah.
Because of like... Is that what we're talking about? Tide Pods?
Tide Pods. That's one.
The ice bucket challenge. Somebody had a front loader dump a whole bunch of ice on them, and it like totally broke their neck or whatever, and they died.
Damn.
Yeah, so like that type of stuff does occur. So people going and being like, well, this is the trendy thing to do, and they just start. And a lot of it might not even be in like defiance of Trump. Like people are just chasing trends, trying to get those TikTok views, right? We would never.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna mess with the life of my unborn child inside me. By taking Tylenol.
You know, it's just somebody like stuffed a pillow underneath their shirt just to do the video. And they're still going to the...
and then went to urgent care and then posted about it.
Yeah, right.
The makers of Tylenol say that sound science clearly shows that taking acetaminophen does not cause autism. The president also claims that ingredients in vaccines and the close timing of childhood vaccinations could also be contributing to rising autism cases. The FDA commissioner standing by the White House's claims on Tylenol.
Acetaminophen has been given willy-nilly way too frequently without any discussion of the potential risks to balance out those discussions about the potential benefit.
But medical groups say that there have been dozens of large studies over the decades, and not one of them found that acetaminophen or vaccines cause autism.
There was a study that was done in Sweden where they looked over a 25-year period at 2.5 million children to see whether or not Tylenol taken during pregnancy increased the risk of autism. And it didn't. And more importantly, they did it the right way because they did the so-called sibling control. So they looked at mothers who took Tylenol during one pregnancy but not another. So you could compare those two pregnancies. And again, it found that there was no relationship between taking Tylenol and developing autism.
Yeah, so that gives you the impression that this is just Trump being a jerk, right? Just saying this for no reason.
Absolutely.
Right? There's no science that backs that.
Certainly not.
Right. Thanks for watching.
This has been Human Reaction, and that's the news.
Trust the science.
We'll see you next week for Trust the Science, Human Reaction podcast.
And you notice that, you know, the subtle switch in cause as opposed to correlate,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or what we actually use in science, meaning statistical relevant correlation with these things. And you know, I think it's worth just, you know, actually we'll skip this one. It's worth just noting that he ends, like Trump, when he talks about this during the press conference, he says, talk to your medical doctors. Mm-hmm. Like just do this, just knowing that this is relevant information to weigh the trade-offs. Mm-hmm. Don't take it for a month, maybe, and maybe take it only when the fever's bad, not when it's just a low-grade fever or you're just feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the thing, too, is probably autism is caused by multiple variables. And this is one potential causation that exists there. But right now, it's just there's a correlation that we're seeing in some studies. Be wary.
Right.
Like, it's not like a direct, like, we have the complete answer yet.
Right.
We're not at that point yet.
Right. Well, and there's another component of this, too, and it's not just the moms taking Tylenol. Mm-hmm. A component of this conversation is around the childhood vaccine schedule, the density of that schedule, how many vaccines are coupled together, MMR, DTaP, all those, that are given at the same time, loading up a small body with all of these, you know, heavy metal adjuvants, aluminum and mercury, which is otherwise known as thimerosal, so that they don't have to say on the label we're putting mercury in your child. So they load a kid up with all these vaccines. The schedule is enormous. I think it's like 72 vaccines in the first year, some crazy thing like that. And then when the child reacts negatively to that and it develops a fever, and they give the child Tylenol, the assertion is, as best I can understand it, not being a medical doctor, is that the Tylenol depletes the molecule in the human body, glutathione, that is a major antioxidant and helps to detoxify and get those heavy metals out of the body. So it causes this buildup because there's no glutathione to pull the stuff out. And then that's where you see kids who come out of the womb and have regular developmental schedules and then all of a sudden go, you know, completely off the rails and stop talking or walking or whatever stage that they're at. And so I think there's this other component too where, you know, it's not just about the moms. It's about the cumulative effect, like you're saying.
Right. And that's where Trump is kind of combining this. The other folks didn't talk about vaccines at all. Trump did. He did Trump thing. He spent like a third of his time talking about Tylenol and the way that you saw it, including saying that the Amish don't have autism.
Also, Cubans don't because they're too poor for Tylenol.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Just riffing. Just weaving and riffing all the way
you're
through
broke!
It. Yeah. Get some autists already, Cuba. Yeah. Losers.
Seriously.
That's capitalism.
And that's why they're socialists. They don't have any libertarians.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't understand markets without some Tylenol in their system.
The graph goes like this. So
supply and demand.
So he goes on all this tangents, but then his overall picture, he's talking about uncoupling. He's talking about doing it slower. He's talking about delaying hepatitis B until, he said 12, you know, until older age, because, you know, kids aren't sexually active, ideally. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, depends therefore, on what community why are you giving you're talking them
about. Hep B? Wow. You know what I think this is setting up for, though? Because in his confirmation, RFK was made to promise, as we've talked about before, not to change anything about the vaccine schedule. But clearly he wants to study this in more depth and let the science dictate that, not his, you know, personal views or quote unquote, or anything that might be perceived as him impressing his own views on public health. And I think this might be sort of a soft launch of more of that, more research into the vaccines as well, whether or not, you know, for PR reasons, they were trying to kind of keep that off the table and Trump just like went for it anyways. Yeah. I don't know. But this, starting with Tylenol as an early, you know, signal within the autism research space, I think is probably a stepping stone to getting deeper into some of the vaccine stuff. Mm-hmm. I hope.
Totally, yeah.
I have to imagine. Well, they did. Maybe I'm just correlating everything with what Trump said. But I thought that they kind of suggested there that there's been a lot of research here that's been very stifled in the past. I thought they said that in this.
RFK mentions that studies into autism have been, but he doesn't bring up vaccines. He
doesn't bring up vaccines.
Yeah, he just says like it's just really unstudied, and when it's studied, and there's lots of testimony on this that has happened through the HHS committee where they're talking about, well, actually it has been studied, but when it's studied, it's actually has all these problems, yada yada yada. So all that debate aside, if you just watch the Morning America thing, you would think that that was just him going up and saying, Tylenol's bad, and then he left the stage.
Don't take it.
That's it. And then it says RFK is known for his conspiracy,
provably wrong claims on
vaccines. And then you would just, if you just watch that, you get a sense of like, they're not referencing any studies. You know what I mean? But if you read the Politico article, reference the studies. You read the letter, reference the studies. You listen to the rest of the goddamn event, references studies.
Child, it can be brutal to have autism. Today, the FDA is taking action to update the label on acetaminophen and sending a letter to all U.S. doctors letting them know about the risks in pregnancy. We now have data we cannot ignore. There's a very large study, the Boston Birth Cohort, with researchers that have from Johns Hopkins, my former institution, and Boston University, found quote unquote consistent associations between acetaminophen in pregnancy and autism. And the Nurses Health Study with researchers from Yale, Columbia, and Harvard looking at 9,000 kids found that acetaminophen use in pregnancy was associated with neurodevelopmental disorders. And 4 weeks ago, a Mount Sinai Harvard study reviewed all the existing literature and found the overwhelming body of evidence points to an association. Sure, you'll be able to find a study to the contrary. That's how science works. But to quote the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health, there is a causal relationship between prenatal acetaminophen use and neurodevelopmental disorders of ADHD and autism spectrum disorder. We cannot wait any longer.
You know, like, and that's the media misdirection, man. It's just, it really would give you an impression that it's completely disconnected to what's happening. And it's just, it's not information. It isn't going to inform you. In fact, it's disinforming you.
Yes.
And therefore, we get these people online losing their damn minds, you know, because they watch Good Morning America or know someone who took from them as their information about what's going on.
And I wonder who Good Morning America sponsors are and things like that, too.
Brought to you by
probably a lot of Pfizer. Pharmaceuticals, right?
Right.
That exists there. So anything that goes against that is they're kind of in the money is they have to defend pharmaceuticals
right.
At the end of the day.
So Tylenol responded. Do you want to read this out, Joe?
Sure. From Twitter.
Do an Obama voice. No, sorry.
We stand with science. I can't do Obama. That's not what I've worked on.
Do an RFK voice.
No, I will not do that. We stand with science and we stand with you. For generations, families have trusted Tylenol when it matters most. Tylenol is one of the most studied medications in history and is safe when used as directed by expecting mothers, infants, and children. The facts remain unchanged. Over a decade of rigorous research endorsed by leading medical professionals confirm there is no credible evidence linking acetaminophen to autism. Acetaminophen is used worldwide as a first line of defense for pain relief and fever reduction. At the recommendation of independent public health and leading medical professionals and in accordance with the product label. High fevers and pain are widely recognized as potential risks to a pregnancy if left untreated, especially in the first trimester. Remember to talk to your doctor.
Sounds a lot like what Trump said. Talk to your doctor about the trade-offs in pregnancy.
Yeah.
What is the point of this press release? Why couldn't they just have said, yeah, we said this in 2017.
Well, they said something slightly different in 2017, as a matter of fact.
Well, and actually, I saw dozens of tweets coming from their official account telling people to probably not take Tylenol while pregnant.
Right here from Tylenol, dated March 7th, 2017.
We actually don't recommend using any of our products while pregnant. Thank you for taking the time to voice your concerns today.
Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Thank you for your attention to this matter.
So they say literally in 2017, we actually don't recommend using any of our products while pregnant.
And I saw probably about a dozen of these tweets that were
a lot of replies like congratulations on your baby. Remember, don't take our
breath. Yeah. You know, it's like that type
whoa,
of stuff.
Whoa, okay. Yeah.
So why the switch?
Corporate culture? Is it just like the, they want a Jimmy Fallon experience?
Kimmel?
Yeah, Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel experience, well, right? Where they're some asshat, and then now they're a free speech icon because Trump bullied them. You know, I mean, they want that experience. Is that what it is?
Technically, they're not. You know, there's like the spirit of what's going on here, but like technically, if I'm to like hyper left brain it, they're not saying anything about autism in these things. So like what they were saying before, referencing certain studies, is not a lie to them, right? Like that's kind of the angle that's being had here.
Yeah, is safe when used as directed by expecting mothers, mm-hmm. infants, and children. Yeah, and what it's saying is that Tylenol, because it's over the counter, can sometimes be used in a more long-term way, right? Or used on low-risk fevers that don't bear any risk, so don't use it because there is trade-offs.
But see, I think where it gets political here, though, is where they do say there is no credible evidence linking acetaminophen to autism. I mean, clearly there is, according to Dr. Marty McCary.
Yeah.
There's at least a correlation that exists there that's worthy of studying.
And it's, right? I mean, and it's more than just one study versus one study. This is the Harvard study that he's talking about. And what it's talking about is 46 previous published human studies worldwide. Quote, we found evidence of an association between exposure to acetaminophen during pregnancy and increased incidence of neurodevelopmental disorders in children. This association is strongest when acetaminophen is taken for 4 weeks or longer. That's the advice. Don't take unless you need to and not for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? You know, other than like Trump derangement syndrome. Corporate version. You know?
I think that's what it is.
I do think a lot of it is TDS, obviously. But there's also, I do think that people have this kind of weird when addiction to painkillers that exists, where when, you know, when somebody's saying don't take that thing, all of a sudden a certain people will just get like all in an uproar about it. Like I think that people are addicted in some ways, in the same way that you might be addicted to just like, you know, drugs, they kind of are addicted to like the numbness that it helps them feel in the moment. And so like when somebody's trying to claw that away from them, it's just like, you know, there's that.
Well, like, totally. It's like, I want what there. I can't have, or if I'm afraid maybe that there's going to be some sort of like ban or prohibition on it. Like I want to have it even more. Like there's that human nature.
I've seen the way that people will take like Tylenol and Advil, just like they're popping them like handy all the time. And just like,
oh yeah.
It's like, dude, you just have a minor headache. Like just drink some water.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well,
take a nap maybe.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And the other thing too, like for hangovers, for example, like it's probably the worst time to take Tylenol, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, you
like,
just drink a beer, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Just get back on the horse. Don't be a pussy.
Well, you're numbing a problem that you should probably just be fixing with something very simple like water
and electrolytes. Thing. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I think that is a product of our culture. Like, we've become so accustomed to being able to just put a pill on a symptom to make a thing go away and not actually thinking about root causes of situations that we find ourselves in, particularly those that are actually like self-inflicted, like drinking too much and having a headache the next day. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you earned that headache. Like, get through it. Mm-hmm. You know, you did this to yourself. Don't just numb it away with Tylenol and expect that it's not going to have consequences. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's review some of the insanity, some of the TikToks from people taking Tylenol.
Boy.
Bennett, can we play our whimsical game show music for this part?
I don't have that.
We probably do have to mute the music.
User.
Throw it on in the in post.
Yeah, but so. Yeah, here's me, pregnant woman, taking a Tylenol because I believe in science and not someone who has no medical background.
Oh, yeah. Ignore the three doctors on stage.
Exactly.
Or two. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, if I were her husband or baby daddy, I'd be fucking pissed.
Yeah, right.
Me popping Tylenol while pregnant because what the fuck is the government going to do about it?
Yeah, you're such a badass.
So sassy. So rebellious. In that cat print shirt, and you're Stanley. You're such a rebel. You probably don't do anything conventional.
This one's we got to listen to.
Yeah. Joe judging the women's clothing again.
Yeah, we got to bring that back. Times. We got to bring that back. Where's Nikki Haley in all this? She's still wearing bathrobes?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Tylenol for my headache while pregnant because I don't take my medical advice from a man who doesn't have a degree in science, healthcare, or medicine, and who had a parasitic brain infection and was addicted to heroin for 14 years. Yeah, I'll trust my doctors who have their degree.
Boom.
Mic drop.
Owned.
Yeah.
How dare he?
I do wonder about the brain worm sometimes. You know, whenever you see him, do you think... brainworm? Like, who's talking right now? Is it you or the brainworm? Like,
it weasels its way into the brain and starts operating his mouth.
It's like that black alien thing that guy found in Panama. Have you guys been following that at all?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, okay,
it's been on the Discord. We've been posting about it in our conspiracy Discord stuff.
Total tangent, but there's this black thing, it's supposedly hitting a meteorite, and this guy like collected this little bit of ooze, and then it started growing into this large creature. No idea if it's real or fake. Probably fake, but nevertheless... maybe that's what RFK Jr. has.
Yeah, maybe. And Tylenol is the cure for it. And so it wants everyone to stop taking Tylenol so it can spread.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah, think about it.
Whoa.
Think about it.
We'll all right. Jump into the Discord conspiracy talk channel and let us know your theories on that. Drop it in the comments below.
RFK is an agent fighting against this. I like that.
Yeah, he hasn't been a foreign agent for Israel this whole time. It's been the brainworm, actually, the whole time.
The brainworm is a Zionist.
No comment.
I plead the fifth.
All right. Yeah, so,
this is just her dancing and taking her Tylenol.
Yeah. That's really great for you. Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy. That's great.
I'm so happy for
now,
you.
Now, there was one report.
I love that for you.
There was one report, and again, unconfirmed, because all we've heard is from a nurse who was called by this woman's husband, who allegedly, in reaction to this press conference, took Tylenol, took too much, and is now dying of liver failure in the hospital. She's like 24 weeks pregnant, and like she is going to die. She's like brain dead, according to this story. So right. I would encourage everyone to just keep a level head about this, right?
I don't think these people watch our show, Joe.
You know what? No, you out there watching this, you have a level head, but send this to someone who you think might not and encourage them. Hey, don't do the exact opposite of Trump all the time. Because what if Trump comes out next and says that breathing is good for you?
Yeah.
We're going to have a bunch of people fucking sticking their heads underwater
in the
bathtub.
TikTok no breath challenge.
You heard it here first, folks. TDS no breathing challenge. Do it on TikTok. I'm going to see what happens.
No comment. I'm not part of this clip.
This is how the right secures victory for decades to come, as we just get the left to do all these crazy TikTok
challenges. Their counterculture no breath challenge.
It's also how you go to prison in California and the UK.
Oh, what's that?
They have a new social media governance law in California now, and you're encouraging self-violence.
Oh, you know what? I didn't say that.
Yeah.
We were very specifically saying don't do it.
This is not financial advice. Do your own research. I'm covered,
talk to your doctor. Yeah, right.
Talk to your doctor.
All right. And we have the queen, if you will. DDS freakouts of the week.
Pause. Everyone at home, turn this down. This woman is... shrill.
Yeah, I'll make sure.
And I'm not saying that all women are shrill. I want to be very clear about that. But this
you don't
one
say
particular.
That.
If you guys want to take away abortion rights, if you want to tell us that we can't take painkillers while pregnant because it causes autism, if you want to take all this shit away, take away my right to work. Take away my fucking right to have a fucking job. I don't want to work.
I mean, am I the only one thinking, like, be careful what you wish for?
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty bold ask.
Actually, it sounds like a great idea.
Well, wait till what she says next.
I don't want to work.
What's the worst part of that is, like, the first time she said that, I was like, you don't want to be able to leave a union? Like, because my policy brain was on, so I was like,
right to work.
What? Don't take away right to work.
That is the most autistic.
What a weird breach.
Ever said.
I know. Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. There's a connection to trains too. I'll talk about it later.
Okay. I don't care about women's suffrage. Frankly, after everything else. Okay.
What?
I don't mean
all right.
It
doesn't want a job. Doesn't want to vote.
If you're gonna take away anything,
neither do I.
Take away my right to work. I will gladly sit at home and make a fucking sandwich if it means I don't have to go outside in this public hellhole every single fucking day where everyone's a psycho MAGA.
Great ad for Coastal Carolina University, by the way, as well.
Wait,
this is the product of their
psycho MAGA.
am I being clear about this? She wants to just get married and be a housewife? Is that what she's asking for right now?
I think
it's a weird way to ask for it.
I think Trump just 5D chest her into wanting to be a trad wife.
Yeah, exactly.
About Tylenol.
She wants to make sandwiches.
This is not a turn that I had on my bingo card here.
It's also just, it feels like such an overreaction to just like
Tylenol.
Yeah. Well, this is, and again, this is one of those things. This is TikTok trying to get views.
It's
hyperbolic. It's all this thing. She's like, I think purposely putting on the crazy eyes.
It does seem a little false.
It's very theatrical.
Especially when she got into the suffrage bit and her friend off the screen is
laughing.
Like, what? She's like, you know what I mean?
Anymore. You're telling me that pregnant women can't take over-the-counter painkillers?
No.
No one said that.
Nobody's saying that.
So what is the media environment in which she got the impression that, one, the federal government banned abortion, it didn't, but two, that they were taking away Tylenol?
Also,
you know, like,
is she pregnant?
No.
God, I hope not.
No, she's standing up for the rights.
But she doesn't care about women's suffrage.
It might be a great way to start making sandwiches. Just saying.
No comment.
We are going to hear from the women in the Discord on this one.
I think she really wants a MAGA husband. She wants to stay at home and, you know, be provided for. Isn't that the trad life, you know?
You know, I think this is actually...
I don't think the liberal guys are offering that, you know?
No, I don't think they are. They definitely
but
split,
what they are offering
splits
is
a bill on a first date.
They're offering Tylenol.
Yeah, right. That's
but she has offering. To buy her own Tylenol when she's dating
but it's
a liberal.
That's true. You got to split the cost.
You
got to
split the bill as Tylenol. Yeah.
But then she takes Tylenol and then her kid comes out libertarian. What's she going to do then? You know?
I love
children
this.
Often rebel against their parents.
We win on both sides of this.
All roads lead to libertarians. Checkmate, bitches.
I mean, with the growing autism rates, you'd think libertarians would be doing much better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, no, but see, being smart about economics and foreign policy does not necessarily mean that you're effective. And this we know from the LP. Like,
especially you spend your time thinking about trains. So,
this is a train kick right
and
now.
And the Roman Empire.
Well, it's just such a funny autism thing. Anyways, so here's a good piece of, like, you know, semi-viral, like, accusations going around. Here's an example of it. Autism was first diagnosed in 1943. Tylenol was invented in 1955. So therefore, it couldn't be. Duh, ipso facto. But Tylenol was created, the brand was created in 1955. Acetaminophen.
Okay, well, hold on. I got to stop you there.
Sorry, was that right?
Acetaminophen.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Nuclear. All right, so has...
you're putting R's in there? That
it's
don't
been
belong.
Around since 1878. So, I mean, has autism gone back to 1878? No, but it could be the interaction with vaccines and other things. That's what we're looking at right here. That's what we're trying to ask. Or it was simply not diagnosed. It was diagnosed at the time as...
Mental disability.
Like that, right? And this could also be a reason why, you know, autism is increasing over time as it's diagnosed. But, you know, we're still looking at a thing that's happened in society for some time. Maybe we wouldn't have as many intellectually disabled people back in 1955 if we didn't have acetaminophen. Now I've screwed it up. I got the very beginning of it, but I can't get it now.
It's okay.
You screwed me up.
That's all right.
That guy doesn't count. He can't even read.
Thanks, Bennett. Thanks.
You know, we only tease because we love you.
Yeah, I love you guys too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, and RFK Jr. has made this point, though. You can just empirically, like, just look at the population. How many autistic 70-year-olds do you know? Not a lot.
Well,
maybe a couple.
The death rate is higher among people with autism, too. So most of them die off earlier.
Okay.
So that could explain that. That's it. You don't meet many people, even over the age of 45 to 50, really. Like, in terms of, like, the Gen Xers I know many more Zoomers who are, you know, much more autistic than I know Gen Xers.
I feel like kids these days see more autism, like, just in schools than our parents did when they were in schools.
And, like, the really, really disabling kind.
Yeah.
Like, the really can't do social interaction kind.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I really like Civil War and trains.
Well, and that's also another thing. With economics. Like, that's another thing you could maybe throw with the rising rate of autism is, like, perhaps it's overdiagnosed in some sense, where it's like maybe the spectrum is way too wide.
Well,
like, there might be an argument for that.
Yeah, and actually, I've kind of noticed this too, and you guys can let me know if you've noticed the same thing. It seems like, similar to transgender kids, that there's sort of this, like, parental badge of honor that comes with, like, having a kid with, you know, that is quote unquote neurodivergent or, you know, autistic or on the spectrum or whatever. Like, there seems to be, like, a degree of almost pride around it, to where you might say, okay, obviously great to be proud of your child. I'm not saying parents shouldn't be, regardless of, you know, developmental anything, but maybe there is an overdiagnosis of it because there's an interest in being able to say my kid is different or whatever.
Right. Like, we use these words and we expand the definition so much that it kind of makes the extreme cases that are really important seem less meaningful,
right?
In some ways,
yes, yeah, because we're joking about trains, but what we really mean is the guy who can't look at another human being.
It's like
eyes.
Flapping and stuff, you know, like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, who can't speak.
Yeah,
right. Like, who can't engage with the world hardly at all.
Right. And any amount of that deserves a look into what could be causing that, and if you can treat it, deserves to have a treatment that, if one's available. And it's crazy to me to see parents of people who have, you know, disabled kids basically saying, this is not something we should be treating. You know, I saw some posts like that too. And that was insane to me. As a father of a child who has real developmental disabilities, if there was something I could do to help her to lead a fuller, more, you know, median average life, I would do that in a heartbeat, no matter what the cost was.
Mm-hmm.
So why?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't understand that. That's a strange way to cope and make this a little bit about you.
For sure.
Rather than the welfare of your child. And
there's a definite narcissistic streak here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The selfishness aspect is interesting. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're trying to get on the telepathy tapes.
Telepathy.
You guys familiar with this?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Or love on the spectrum.
You guys have. They want their kid to be an autistic reality TV star. Sick. No. Have you guys not heard of the telepathy tapes?
No.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, this is amazing. So it's actually very, very fascinating. This woman goes and interviews parents with kids who are severely autistic, but so amazingly capable mentally, in the sense that, and there's this very strange connection between, like, mother and child, where the kid can like know where she is, know what she's seeing through her eyes. Like, she can draw a shape or write a word on a card, and he's in the other room, and they'll ask this kid, you know, what's on the card, and he'll know exactly. It's fascinating. If you haven't listened to the telepathy tapes, I highly recommend.
Did any of these look legit? Like, what, something you've seen before?
You know, I haven't looked at any clips on X, but if you go up, the pink one there on second down on the right, yeah,
with Brett Weinstein.
Final question, comment, recommendation is: I know you guys will probably think it's nuts, but please suspend your disbelief and check out the Telepathy Tapes podcast. I really have to start from the beginning, though. There's stuff about animals in there, and I found it profoundly inspiring, thinking about how it might shine a light on how animals really communicate. It is ostensibly about communities of nonverbal autistic kids communicating, and it's amazing. I will say that I have had a couple of people recommend this hesitantly to me saying, I was kind of blown away, but I'm not sure what you will think. And I've had a couple of people saying, I think you actually need to listen to it. I think you may find some very surprising things there.
Yeah.
So
That's
interesting.
It's absolutely fascinating. So, I mean, yeah, I would say definitely check it out. Here I am on a podcast hawking another podcast, but like just super fascinating and very interesting that like they're, you know, while we look at, okay, yeah, maybe there's a deficiency in social skills. Some of these kids that are nonverbal, like something about the changes that occur in the brain do something really profound that that maybe taps into something, some deeper part of the brain or some other function of our human, you know, intellect or in connection with other people that is completely foreign to our knowledge of what humans are capable of.
Well, and this is, I suspect that this is a lot of the same type of stuff that the CIA was studying during the MK Ultra days and probably are still, you know, shilling out money to private groups to study these things too, where they were doing a lot of like psychological experiments, experimenting with a lot of things that, you know, physically from our understanding should be impossible, but they were very curious about those types of things when it came to like telepathy, astral projection, that type of stuff. The Soviets were really interested in this type of stuff too. And they were kind of trying to outcompete each other on those things. And I suspect that this type of stuff would have been the things in that realm that they were trying to study.
Right. Remote viewing and this sort of thing. So,
The psychic phenomenon that the CIA was interested in has always been kind of like, man, I would like some further declassification on what was going on there. Because like they were like, at the time, they were hiring like Latin American paramilitary groups to kidnap people and induce trauma experiments on people to see how it affected their psyches and things like that.
Wait.
Yeah.
Maybe autism is a deep state op to create more like severely autistic people so they can, you know, pull them into their programs and use them to see things. Maybe that's why all the studies have been shuffled away.
They give you psychic powers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe. Cool. Who knows? I would like more declassification on those things and that what they were doing.
Fair.
Fair.
But like the more you study psychology and kind of the obscure psychology, the weirder things get. And you're like, man, we don't know a lot.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. So I have one last thought. I haven't seen anyone else really unpack this particular angle that seems to me to be very practical from the point of view of pregnancy. I've had a couple kids. So one of the things I've noticed is that there's a lot of dogma in pregnancy, especially around like what to eat, what to do, what you can and can't do. A lot of hard rules when that isn't really medical, right? It's not like medical fact really based on those rules, but a severe risk aversion. That's understandable because, you know, the consequences are much deeper and much more than for relatively common things, right? So you get food poisoning. It's one thing if you don't have, if you get food poisoning as, you know, a regular person, that's a bad day, you know, miss some work. But if you get it while pregnant, there's going to be some very bad consequences for your baby. So it's understandable why the risk tolerance is very low. But consider this, right? If these Harvard studies and the meta study puts the correlation at a, you know, likelihood that's substantial, right? We can't say out of 100,000, this is how many people are caused. But we do know, like, for example, Listerosis, which is something you get from like having, like eating sushi or having deli meat or something like that. It's one out of 83,000 or two out of 120,000 is about the ratings I've seen for how often it is that people get it from eating meat. The recommendation has become don't ever eat sushi or any kind of processed meat while pregnant. And that normative value applies very clearly there for sensible reasons. Now, it's probably too much. You probably can eat some of that. You just can't eat a ton of it. And like women are negotiating this all the time in reality, right? And then this Tylenol thing happens. And all of a sudden, like amongst the people who would normally be like, newsflash, don't eat processed meat, you know, like Good Morning America, like the mainstream press, like liberals who are very risk averse. That's why they like safetyism and COVID and all that stuff. And it's like, how could you? Ah, Tylenol. You know, like what is that? That is insane. It completely reverses something that is very deep into the, like, the pregnant experience on its head in a very strange way.
Yeah, it's very true.
And it's strange to me that that would, like, the politics of being anti-Trump would supersede something so sacred and, like, of, like, the welfare of babies, of infants, of the unborn.
Yeah.
Very strange. So I just want to leave with that note. I just looking at the ratio there, 1 out of 100,000, we're like, no, don't ever. Very strange.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think that pregnant moms would want to do right by their children and would want to understand what the real risk was. What is the, you know, the incidence rate of potentially Tylenol induced or affected autism? Mm-hmm. I think you'd want to know that.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Moving on.
Y'all moving on. So what else we got? We got
James Comey.
James.
Indicted.
Indicted.
I knew it was coming, Bennett.
James, the United States of America v. James B. Comey Jr. Do you know he's a junior?
I did not know he was a junior.
Junior. Wow.
James Comey Jr.
Yeah. So he has been indicted for obstruction of justice and perjury. Relevant section B and section 1. James B. Comey Jr. did willfully and knowingly make a materially false, fictitious, and fraudulent statement in a matter within the jurisdiction of the legislative branch of the government of the United States by falsely stating to a U.S. senator during Senate Judiciary Committee that he, James B. Comey Jr., had not, quote, authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Statements was false because James B. Comey Jr. then and there knew he, in fact, had authorized Person 3 to serve as an anonymous source in news reports regarding the FBI investigations concerning Person 1, which I assume would be Donald Trump.
And a lot of this is coming out of the Russia hoax.
Yes.
Everything about... We've covered that in the dynamic, especially with Tulsi Gabbard's stuff that she came out a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially him just lying about the whole information flow that they had in the time and then saying that they had very credible sources on everything that was going on with Russia. And essentially Trump is a Putin puppet.
The Russians.
And all this, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And like, I think this is what they're going with is probably where they had the strongest case. Mm-hmm. They've got someone to crack and basically say that they're the ones that he told to tell the press. And when he, in fact, said he didn't. And now even just telling someone to tell the press is something that you're not supposed to is also against the rules, right? Like, leaks. Like, Obama put people in jail for leaking. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
You know, he was one of the most aggressive ever in the history of the United States presidents in persecuting leakers.
Really?
Yeah. Prosecuting them in law, in court.
It's also worth remembering before we go into the things that he said. Comey is the guy that on Instagram put out the beach photo with the 8647.
Yes.
There and was like, just happened to find this on my walk on the beach. Uh-huh. You know, that whole thing just a few months ago too. Which actually, I had a friend recently just sent me a photo of he was walking in like his street by his house, and somebody put an 8647 sticker on the stop sign. Mm. It's like, that's becoming much more of a rallying call. It seems
a liberal dog whistle.
Yeah, it's a liberal dog whistle.
It's not really a dog whistle.
Wanting though. To off the president is a liberal dog whistle, apparently.
Well, 86 could be interpreted as like get him out of office too, right? Doesn't necessarily mean kill.
Well, that was the thing with this situation here, where like a bunch of these guys, Comey and a few of the others, they're all kind of like pretending I didn't know what 86 meant.
Yeah, you're like,
have you never been in a dive bar, sir?
Well. Or just a person that's dealt with, like, it's been your job dealing with crime and mafias and things like that. Like, I knew it when I saw it.
Yeah, strange. So here's some other testimony that has proven very false by Tulsi Gabbard and what she's been able to reveal in the last few months.
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever. The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle. They did it with purpose. They did it with sophistication. They did it with overwhelming technical efforts. And it was an active measures campaign driven from the top of that government. There is
now.
You're full of shit today.
Yeah, that's full of shit. It's far smaller than that. We have no evidence that anyone's brought forward that suggests that it was directed from the top. In fact, most of it is probably people trying to get boomers to click on links so that they can get ad revenue. That appears to be most of what it actually shook out to be.
Well,
according to Scott Horton in his book Provoked, he has a whole section on Russiagate, which is really enlightening because the amount of misdirection in that was huge.
Well, according to Tulsi, there was some influence that was much more of just around sowing chaos. But what it appeared is the intelligence suggested was that Russia was preparing for the inevitability of a Hillary Clinton presidency, and they had a bunch of dirt on her that they were ready to use when it had to do with like her shooting up horse tranquilizers and like things like that.
Ivermectin?
That was the like, but it appeared that they were kind of hoping that Hillary Clinton was going to win because she was kind of like a known entity, unlike the Trump being this like unknown entity. And it's like, well, we have all this dirt on her, so she'll be much easier for us to deal with, and we can drop a bunch of news stories that kind of hinders her. That seemed to be what was happening at the time.
And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, what he's referring to is the election interference campaigns, which were all accused at the time of being a coordinated campaign from the Kremlin to go onto social media with bots and boost Donald Trump.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm saying is actual evidence is just that they were preparing for a Hillary Clinton presidency.
Yes, and
that they were prepared with intelligence on that.
Yeah.
There was none of this like electioneering shenanigans that we had to live with for 3-4 years at the time.
And it's been a while. So remember that it was also at the time, it was Hillary Clinton saying that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president because Russia got him elected. Because of online influence due to Russia.
She wrote a book called What Happened.
Yeah. Which itself...
If I did it.
Which in itself was you know, really turned out in afterwards to really be negligible, to really not be a thing. And so here he is confidently fabricated. Saying that.
Fabricated. Like, it was like, no, you have to get us the information that proves that this was happening. Like, this was all going down during the lame duck period.
Mm-hmm. There's no fuzz on that. It is a high confidence judgment of the entire intelligence community.
That's false. We now know, Tulsi Gabbard revealed that no one thought it was legit. Even the CIA had substantial concerns about the methods used. In fact, that the methods were traced back to the Steele dossier. And he also lies in another part about the Steele dossier.
And the members of this committee have seen the intelligence. It's not a close call. That happened. That's about as unfake as you can possibly get and is very, very serious, which is why it's so refreshing to see a bipartisan focus on that, because this is about America, not about any particular party.
Yeah. So
I do suspect because the week before Tulsi dropped this, she was actually in London and it was just kind of this trip that nobody covered. And I do suspect that there was a deeper, especially just because Christopher Steele, former MI6 and so on, he was private intelligence when this was happening, but I do suspect that there was probably a deeper British op that was going on here at the time. And I suspect that's why Tulsi was in London.
Hmm.
To talk with MI6?
Because Steele was MI6, right? He retired and he worked in private intelligence, and he was hired by the Hillary Clinton campaign. He came up with a dossier. Dossier says piss tapes and all that stuff.
Well, and I know something that something that John Kiriakou, who's former CIA and does a lot of the podcast circuit, was saying was that he was saying that he suspects with Christopher Steele that he was kind of operating with his intelligence in the same way that he would have at MI6, where he's just getting all the information and then it's up to analysts afterwards to kind of sift through the information. It's like, that doesn't make sense, but he just presented all this information, unlike where it's just like there's a rumor here, and then they just kind of ran with it of being like, yeah, there's all these rumors that are completely unverified, analysts haven't sifted through it or anything, and it's just like, here's like the raw intelligence before, like, you know, it gets kind of condensed down and more filtered.
If you want to see the fallout from it and specifically see Christopher Steele get confronted on this, Scott Horton was on with
Piers Morgan.
On Piers Morgan. And it is interesting. It was super interesting. I wanna watch that. A couple months ago. It was like earlier this year, January or February or something like that. And it was real. I don't know what the process is. Maybe Kiriakou's right about that. But it was an op by the Hillary Clinton campaign. And he gave them what they wanted, which was some tenable reason to create an investigation to undermine his presidency. It was a coup within the government. That's what it was. And the fact that 40% of the country just can't reconcile with that is ridiculous.
Well, it's always it's annoying too with it, where what one of the big things is everybody's just like, Trump asked for Russia's help on TV. like that's what always gets thrown out there. And you're just like, yeah, because that's how like spy work happens. It's just like, hey, Putin, pretty please. I'm on national television right now. Will you do that? Do this for me. It's like, because what, and if you just pull back the clip, Trump is so clearly just joking or just like, well, Putin, if you have anything, might as well see it. You know, like he's just joking about it. But like, that's what people will point to, is just being like, see, he's so clearly his puppet. He's like, he's the dumbest spy ever. Or, you know, if that's the case. You know?
Bennett, play the clip.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
I rest my case.
Yeah. So another thing that Trump did today is the DOJ is going to be investigating Antifa. So he, in 2020, declared them a terrorist organization. And then after Charlie Kirk and everything, he declared it again and was additionally signed a presidential memorandum to get the DOJ to investigate and disrupt organized violent political groups. Now, this is an interesting moment, right? Because if you're more of a paleoconservative or a libertarian or concerned about civil liberties, it's always dangerous when the government sets out to investigate groups. But to be clear, since my entire life, being a militia, being a right-winged organized group has been illegal. And if someone invites you to their party where they're shooting guns and they're talking about overthrowing the government, you don't go. Right?
Because they're most likely feds.
Yeah, well, or they're legit.
At least 25% of them.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Governor Whitmore case, maybe. 75% in that case.
They were overindulgent on that one.
They didn't have a lot going on. They sent a few extra guys. It was fine.
Right. But my entire life has always been, you know, that they might legitimately be militia. And if they are, you know, don't do that, because there's been a prosecution consistently over time of when those people did anything violent or were shooting to or disrupted before they could was very consistent. There probably is a case for that, because organized political violence is a bad thing. The left wing has been doing this very consistently since 2016, and I'm sure exists before then, but it was like more of a niche movement, but it's since kind of gone
climate
mainstream.
Focused, right?
Yeah. Or like, yeah, going to the WTO or something like that and breaking shops in Seattle. Right?
Yeah, you had ELF, Earth Liberation Front. They would set stuff on fire and put nails in trees and kill loggers. I mean,
yeah.
Remember Antifa on Trump's inauguration on Trump 1.0 in 2017, Antifa had like DC on fire at the time.
Yeah.
Right. Like that was, I think, the first time people really... Antifa became more of a publicly known name. If you're actively involved in politics, you probably dealt with Antifa, especially like if you're in the right wing, actively involved with politics, you probably had Antifa protesters show up at your stuff before. I have. And you probably knew more about them, but like in the 2016, 2015 lead up to the election, like you had Antifa shutting down college campuses, hitting people with bricks on college campuses, things like that. Like they've been violent.
Yeah.
Like this isn't like a new thing. Like it's pretty obvious that they're a domestic terrorist organization to me. Like that seems obvious to me.
And organized for street violence specifically, right? So like the Proud Boys were obviously disrupted and prosecuted by the federal government, because one of the things they had in there, supposedly, I'm saying this was legit, but supposedly one of the things they had is, in order to be a Proud Boy, at some point you had to have been in a fist fight. Right, that's Gavin McGinnis being a macho guy, right? It was
early jokester stuff on the Proud Boys thing,
on his
radio show.
And then it actually kind of became a thing as they showed up to oppose Antifa whenever they'd show up at a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. This is the 2016 era.
Right. That action and putting the guy from Proud Boys in prison after J6 when he wasn't even at the Capitol, based upon his, you know, messages to the group, maybe deserve that, maybe not, whatever. I'm not trying to say that right now, but there was a clear prosecution of what was perceived to be a threat from the right wing.
It was the same with Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers as well.
Yeah.
After J6.
Yeah. I've never seen this on the left. At a minimum, if they're a real threat to political violence, to the degree to which Antifa might have something to do with the guy who killed Charlie Kirk. Antifa to the degree to which that trans shooter a while ago had some Antifa stuff. We don't know to what degree it was coordinated. We don't know to what degree it was like funded or whatever. But we don't know in part because it seems like they're perfectly fine with left-wing violence and not doing anything about right-wing violence. And maybe that's why right-wing violence shows up in the crime statistics when you look up right-wing violence versus left-wing violence far more, is because it's prosecuted more.
Sure.
Maybe not.
People get bailed out and stuff. Like, remember, this is during the BLM Summer of Love time period. Like, Kamala Harris was actively involved in the time of getting all of these people out of jail and making sure that they didn't wind up in jail. And like, there was like large movements to like fight back against the government, and that they're prosecuting innocent black men who are like vandalizing city blocks.
So it seems to me to be a step in actually making something, if we're going to make political violence the job of the federal government to disrupt, to keep from happening, when it's organized and funded, it seems to me to be a thing that they should do on both sides. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, it just seems reasonable.
Well, and it just seems so clearly just existing in the world that the left wing has so much more of a violence problem right now. Like, they're not the ones getting shot, right? Like we've had to deal with Steve Scalise getting shot, Rand Paul getting attacked by his neighbor, Charlie Kirk is dead, Donald Trump, 2 assassination attempts on him. Like, the left wing is not the ones getting shot at right now.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, the right needs to tone down the temperature. It's like, no, motherfucker, you need to tone down the temperature.
So when you look at the crime, when you look at the statistics, there is a lot of right wing violence in terms of like people who shot up abortion clinics in the 1990s, right? And did so for religious reasons. And that's categorized as right wing. But there's this interesting phenomena, too, on the statistics side that I've noticed, is when a left winger like the trans shooter that did like the pencil drawing of himself shot at that Catholic school, mm-hmm. who was, you know, kind of trans, but also very nihilistic. It gets categorized as nihilist when they do it. But when anyone on the right who's at all religious does it, it gets categorized as right wing. Mm-hmm. So they come up with a new category for some nuns that's a little more left wing, right? And that's the same thing with the, I think that was the Nashville shooter, was also that way. And because it wasn't a political target.
Also trans.
Trans.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and trans, there are transgender right wingers, but they're kind of a minority in that group. You know, it's not very common.
Blair White's not shooting up schools.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, yeah, right.
The one trans person.
There's just the one, right?
Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn Jenner, okay.
Yeah, two, okay, yeah.
Not aware that she's shut up in schools either.
No, who specifically said, you can dead name me.
So my point being that this is the statistics of that, whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not claiming to know. I'm just saying, like, the policy should be, if you're organized for political violence to shut up your opposition by intimidating the streets, which is the mission statement of Antifa, that seems illegal to me. That seems like a way to enable people with the heckler's veto. If you don't, the heckler's veto, the worst kind, the violent kind, if you don't prosecute them, but you will go after the militia or you'll go after the anti-abortion group or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, an important part of this is that the Trump administration is going after the funding, too. And he was asked about that when he signed the order.
This is the most
important. Just so we go ahead. Why don't you defend? Let's see you defend them, Jeff.
No, I'm not defending anyone. I just want so that we can explain this in our stories. Could you name a couple?
You don't explain it right, though, Jeff. Go ahead. Let's go. Maybe let's give you another chance. Go ahead.
Antifa, Soros. What names are we talking about?
Well, Soros is a name certainly that I keep hearing. I don't know, but Soros is a name that I hear. I hear a lot of different names. I hear names of some pretty rich people that are radical left people. Maybe I hear about a guy named Reid Hoffman. Somebody's a pretty rich guy, I guess, and I hear about him. I don't know. Maybe could be him. Could be a lot of people. We hear the same names. But they're bad, and we're going to find out. And if they are funding these things, they're going to have some problems because they're agitators and they're anarchists. These are anarchists. Really bad. Okay, yeah, please. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are people in my mind that clearly need to look at investigation. And George Soros, I mean, we've covered George Soros so many times on this podcast. Like, he has been just that private equity arm of so much geopolitical strife too, let alone the domestic side, especially with him kind of buying out all these DAs and everything all around the country, which is probably massively contributing to crime going on. But also just, the Reid Hoffman. I mean, he's been a massive left-wing activist group funder for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm. Mike Benz is elated on X right now because his view of George Soros' role is as a arm of NED internationally, and that his interpretation of 2020
NED is the left wing kind of
National Endowment for Democracy. Yeah, it's the left wing side of the USAID. So you have IRI for the right wing, NED for the left. So, and that's like private NGO intelligence operations. Mm-hmm. So the way he interprets 2020 is as an NED op in the United States using BLM to try to overthrow the election, right? Make sure the election went to Biden by causing chaos. What would normally have been a relatively small thing turned into a much bigger thing in the same pattern that you see in other countries who suffer from color revolutions. Mm-hmm. If that's true, and this investigation, if done right, would unveil that. That would be the sort of thing that people actually had ambitions for Trump's presidency for, right? Yes. That would be meeting promises. And, you know, for the first, you know, this part, we've been very critical of Trump over the last 20 or 30 episodes. Probably.
For sure.
So I'm happy to come back and say, hey, good on you for Tylenol and good on you for this, because it seems to me to be the right call. You know,
nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
That's what he promised us. And then he said, there's no Epstein files. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not even a thing, you know? Yeah. Iran, they asked me to do it. Or I don't know what he said about Iran anymore, but Jesus Christ, you know, that whole madness.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Well, so. I don't know. I just saw a clip of Trump saying in response to Israel's purported, you know, occupation of the West Bank, he said, I won't allow it to happen.
Interesting claim.
I wish you were a liar.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, well, that's quite a statement to make.
So much of this
stuff.
What's
Bibi think of that?
So much of the stuff is just part of the negotiations, though. Like, it's the same thing with the Ukraine stuff. Is he's flip flop back and forth on Ukraine like six times?
Yeah, now he's saying Ukraine can win.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but and you can say it's part of the negotiations, but now it just seems like duplicitous and like just lying.
Well, when you're a third party in this and both sides don't want to end the thing, like you can only do so much. Like, I don't know on the Ukraine thing, like, what is he expected to do right now?
So no more money and weapons. How about that?
That's kind of what he says.
Probably cause more problems, actually. Like, you kind of got to ease him off. Like, sort of like Tylenol, you got to ease him off.
No, well, so what the new arrangement will be something like, we give money to Europe and Europe gives... We give weapons to Europe and Europe gives our weapons to Ukraine.
But that's not solving the fucking problem.
I know. But this is part of that. That's why it's rhetorical.
No, but right? if you just lose it right now, Russia's taking everything. On Ukraine,
I mean, like if you not just, my chair, not my problem. That's right what there, I say.
Right. But like what I'm saying is, I think a lot of people just be like, just cut him off cold turkey right now, and I think that's extremely unwise to do.
Well, because he wants to have his cake and eat his too. I'm sorry to interrupt, Kyle. I'm just only saying that Trump wants the mineral deal to actually work, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
So he is now invested in this to be a thing that he can actually stop, because he thought that it would stop if he just asked nicely. And the trick is that now there's no trust left for Washington, D.C., right? Because we've been on every side of this issue. Every 4 years, we change around. Like, yeah, NATO expansion, no NATO expansion. It was Trump who started giving weapons to Ukraine in the first place, like actual offensive weapons. So, you know, like you're
not defensive.
Well, if a temporary ceasefire occurs, Ukraine's just going to take back a bunch more territory, and this thing's going to continuing on. So, like, I actually think that the original idea that Trump and Putin kind of had was to just skip ceasefire and go straight to the peace deals. And Russia's going to get a bunch of territory, and sucks for Europe, but Europe doesn't want that. So Europe's going to keep pushing harder. You know? And they're massively investing. They just put up the European Union just put up like another $900 billion in military reinvestments and stuff like that, too. So like this thing's going to. You know, like there's a lot of variables in here, and I don't think it's wise to just be like, oh, just pull out. Like,
but that's,
you know,
but okay. So that's the, it depends on who you're asking for. Is it best in Trump's motive to just pull out? No, it isn't, because he'll lose his mineral deal. Right. Is it in
more
interest,
than that? Like there's more variables than just a mineral deal.
Well, I know, right? But that's the major one that I could see from Trump's point of view, as I understand it. Cause otherwise he's worried about like the standing of the US community against aggressive wars. When that's not Trump's view of the US community at all, he's like, everyone starts wars. All right. You know, I'd start a war if I needed to, you know, like that's not his approach to governance at all, as I understand it. From the point of view of what is best for the world is not having nuclear armed states like France, Germany, Britain, Russia, and France, Germany, Britain, and the in the United States going into a proxy war on the border of the other highly armed nuclear state, right? And that is the most dangerous thing. So whatever ends that, including saying, well, you're going to have to lose out on these already Russian-speaking provinces in eastern Ukraine, mm-hmm. is worth it to me.
Yeah.
From that point of view.
Yep.
But from the point of view of the political actors, you're right, Kyle. There's mm-hmm. There's a ton more variables that they are much more concerned about because they can't be seen losing territory to the state that they think they're inevitable enemies to. As they buy coal and natural gas and oil from them through proxies. Europe is funding both sides of the war. There was an article earlier this year. You guys don't remember that? You guys remember this? Yeah, earlier this year, where it says like the money moving through India and all the oil through India is now just funding the governments to fund their economies to then send their tax dollars over to Ukraine to fight the opposite side of the war.
Which is another reason why I say it just needs to end, because the same thing happened in World War II.
Yeah.
Standard Oil funded the Nazis and funded the Allies. And they made money. So who wins out in all this when the war continues? It's the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
If we quit using taxpayer dollars to send money to NATO so Europe can foot the bill. No, we're still fucking footing the bill. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
And this was a campaign promise that I'm very disappointed we haven't seen happen yet.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, how is he supposed to fulfill this when other people don't want to come to peace? Like, it's not just like Trump can just walk in and just be like, peacetime, guys. You know, like,
it's more complicated. Joe's risk tolerant. Yeah. He's saying, if you pull out, yes, more of Ukraine might get lost as Russia advances before they finally give up. Or we actually say it and mean it this time on taking away the weapons. Europe says it and means it and, you know, says they're going to fund it. And then they start losing territory or they don't. And then it's Europe's issue, right? I mean, the biggest thing is I don't want my country in on this.
Right.
I would ideally not like Europe in this, right? So the last
European
interest group
with their own problems
that we haven't discussed is American natural gas providers, who are making a killing right now by selling much more expensive American gas to Europe in lieu of the constraints of having to go all the way through India to then sell into Europe. So that's another reason Trump won't do it. Is because the oil men got to make their money, man.
He's got too many constituencies that profit from seeing the war continue.
Yes. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, I think Trump wants to see the war end. Like, there's nothing in what he's said that makes me think that that's not the case.
Well, yeah. And I specifically mean it's less so, maybe less so Trump, possibly, or it's just his rhetoric for the public, for the plebs like you and me to believe him, and maybe he's lying.
Because I just looked on Twitter, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, we're at World War III. And it's like, no, we're not at World War III, guys.
I'll tell you what that's about. Or there is, I forgot it now. Oh, or the interest groups within the intelligence communities that are highly connected to oil, IRI and others, that themselves are the deeper actor at play that caused this whole thing in the first place, that did the Maidan revolution, that has been doing color revolutions all over Eastern Europe for this entire time, including Belarus, you know, like Russia's closest ally, like the year before, you know, the invasion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, he just can't, there's so many variables there that he's not really totally at the ship's steering wheel either. Mm-hmm. Right. Because there's other forces.
You can't be. That's like we've said before Trump was even elected. It was just like, the president doesn't actually have that much power at the end of the day. Like, there's a lot of forces at work.
100%.
It's, and you got to balance a lot of things. And I think a lot of people put way too much emphasis on the president himself, no matter who it is, like Biden. I mean, when Biden was elected, I think we all saw that the president doesn't have that much power.
It was the auto pen.
I think a lot of people, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of propaganda that you got to spew. And, you know, I think a bunch of libertarians are going to be upset that there's a bunch of propaganda you got to spew. But, like, you know, even in private companies, corporations got to spew propaganda too to get the things going. Like, people got to navigate through very swampy waters and a lot of fog of war and have to deal with a lot of different people.
Sure. But I think really, and as far as like maybe the way me and Joe are oriented toward it, it's mostly just that he is the president. He could, if he really wanted to. The trick is, though, I suspect, is he don't want to spend the capital to do so.
Yes,
because it would be extremely expensive.
The political capital.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep. Well, there's also just like the diplomacy side of it, of like there are certain agreements that exist. And if you just pull out of everything when you have all of these, there's like a political capital that you are losing when you do that.
Wait, you mean like our agreements with Ukraine?
agreements with Ukraine, agreements with Europe, our relationship on trade deals with Europe and all, and the recent trade deals. Like, there's a lot of these different things that are going
on. We don't know what's all in there.
Well, also Russia's lobbying for their own benefits to happen. You know, when we talked about actually the Russia hoax back before, I talked about the Magnitsky Act, which nobody talks about, which is another big primary factor that also ties in with Epstein, Epstein related things. You can go back on a past episode and watch me break that down. But like all of these things, I think there's a lot of variables in here that are all coming together in this moment. And I think it's, I don't think it's as simple as just like, just pull out. Like when we watched when Biden just derailed from the original plan of pulling out of Afghanistan and did his own plan. And we watched how disastrous that occurred.
Well, but to be clear, I'm not sure what the unintended consequences would be of pulling out, but I know that the risk profile is much greater at staying in. Probably, given the long tail.
That's what she said. Thank you.
You're welcome. of the long risk tail.
Like there's a Tylenol joke there too.
Of global nuclear war, right? And that's the downside, right? And the idea of, you know, the way Russia's oriented too. The reason why Twitter was saying that we're in World War III again, all over again, is because at the UN, the Russian ambassador said we are at war with NATO and the EU.
Yeah, Lavrov did.
So, and that's the kind of rhetoric intensification that could lead to mistakes or could lead to an escalatory spiral. And then we're fighting a ground war in Eastern Europe.
I mean, he's right. He is at war with Europe and, you know, they are. It's just their current proxy is Ukraine.
Right. But like it's true. The symbol of that and the meaningfulness of that symbol. And at the end of the day, the president is the commander in chief and could make those decisions. He simply doesn't want to because it's too costly. And like that's a shame because the long tail there is real. You know?
I think we just need to ship a bunch of Tylenol to Russia and Ukraine and then get a lot more libertarians created in both those countries. And then they figure out, hey, war is not the answer. And then it all ends.
You guys ever just thought about property, you know, and just how like there's a natural right to it?
Yeah, you know, in a strange way, Russia probably has a better grasp of that than Ukraine does. In the aftermath of the 90s. Yes.
Very true. All right. Well, gentlemen, great episode. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for watching. If you have any thoughts on the episode, please drop us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify. We do check them both. And if you want to continue the conversation in greater detail, join the Discord. Link is in the description. For David Rand, for Kyle Mack, for Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember,
where's my Tylenol, Bennett?